Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune which they have prescribed, to rob the needy of justice and take what is right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey and that they may rob the fatherless. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
woe to them. Yeah.
What do you mean, woe to them?
Yeah, I don't want, when God says woe to you, don't want to be there.
Whoa.
Yeah. Ain't okay. Nothing about stopping no horse neither.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be pity?
Huh?
Would that be pity?
No, not in this case.
No, it's warning.
You better watch out.
Danger.
Yep.
Danger, Lurax.
Who decree unrighteous decree? What's that talking about? A decree.
Laws?
Who declare unrighteous stuff. Make unrighteous declaration and declare it as though it's true. Okay?
Yeah.
Which they have prescribed. They've made it up themselves and declare it as though it's true. So he said, woe to them. And what did they do it for? What's the purpose of it that they do it?
To keep it from the poor of their rights.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And keep justice from those that are oppressed of the other people.
You're right. To rob the needs of justice to the where justice will not be in its right place. So they'll have innocent people suffering, and to take right stuff from his poor people, to take what's right from them, and that widows, oh my goodness, that widows may be their prey. Those are the main ones that they go, because back then, women had few rights in anything, and so the women couldn't take them to court or couldn't fight against them in any way. So they would rob women, widows. That would be their prey. That was their main goal, and they'd steal from, and that they may rob the fatherless. So God is saying woe to them, because it's going to catch up with you one day.
That's very close to God's heart.
Yes.
Those people.
The fatherless and widows, yes.
He tells us, take care of them.
Yep. Amen. Okay. Verse 3.
What will you do in the day of punishment
and
in the desolation which will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help? Where will you leave your glory?
So he's asking.
I want
to deal with that first.
Yep.
What's he asking then?
Where are you going to go, and who's going to protect you from?
Mm-hmm. Who's going to help you? What you going to do when your day of punishment comes? What you going to do? Who's going to help you when your day of punishment comes? And all this stuff that you got here that you've been taking from the widows and the fatherless and all, where will they? Where are you going to leave it? Because it's just like when you die. All this stuff that you got, you can't take it with you.
Yeah.
And so he's saying, but there's going to come a time, many times, even before you die, said when the desolation, the trouble comes from afar, then much of this is going to be taken from you, and where are you going to leave it? Okay?
I'm still finding Janine's stuff everywhere. She couldn't take it with her.
Well, true.
Right.
I'm still finding Janine's stuff all over the house, going through laundry, and all of a sudden, this isn't mine, oh, that was hers. And on top of the fridge, some of her vases.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm saying? It's just, she lived with me for so long.
Yeah.
It penetrated.
Oh, I didn't know
home.
That. Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she lived with me for almost a year.
So, that's kind of what he says.
How long ago was that?
Hmm?
How long ago was that?
Well, she moved in with me in October, And she was with me basically until she died.
Of last year? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's asking these people, where are you going to leave your glory? All your supposed to be good stuff, where are you going to leave it? Because what's going to happen? Verse 4.
Let's see, verse 4. Without me, they shall bow down among the prisoners. They shall fall among the slain.
All of those that's taking all of these things from the widows and the father. So when the time comes, time of their desolation comes, without me, they're going to bow down with the prisoners.
Yep. And,
mm-hmm.
More?
Okay. Go ahead.
And all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still.
God's still trying to give you a chance. Even with all this messing up that you're doing, his hand is still stretched out. He's still trying to give you a chance. Can you understand that even about us? With all our messing up, God still tries to give us a chance.
The more you think about it, the more incredible it is.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Next. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger and the staff in whose hand is my indignation.
Okay, woe to Assyria. Assyria is a nation.
Yep.
And he said, they're the rod of my anger. They're the ones that I'm going to use, have to use to punish others. I'm going to have to use them like a rod, even though I don't like them. But I'm still going to have to use them.
It's just like we don't like using against the sheep people, but you got to do what you got to
exactly,
do.
Exactly. Okay. And how am I going to deal with them?
Let's see. My hand.
Six.
Mm-hmm. Where am I at here?
Six.
I will send him against an ungodly nation and against the people of my wrath. I will give him charge to seize the spoil, to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets.
Go.
Yet he does not mean so, nor does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off a few nations. For he says,
to cut off not a few nations.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, cut off.
Yeah. So God says, woe to Assyria, because I'm going to send him against who?
Godless nation.
Okay.
Yep.
Who do you think that godless nation is that God's going to send Assyria
talking
against?
About Israel, isn't he?
Yes. His own people.
That's sad.
Yeah, but he's going to send this ungodly nation, Assyria. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 6. He's going to send this ungodly nation against them. And he's going to give them charge so that take the spoil and the prey, all of the good stuff that Israel has, and they're going to tread them down. Like the mire, or what is mire?
Mud.
Mm-hmm. And stuff in the street. They're going to tread them down.
Yeah.
Like that in the street. Okay. God's going to use Assyria to do that to his own people. Because that's how bad his people got.
Yet he does not mean so, nor did his heart think so. But it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off not a few nations.
Okay, he doesn't mean so. That's not a serious intention. And he don't really think in his heart that he's actually doing this to destroy or cut off a few nations. But here's the thing, when God raises you up to do something, it's just like the leaders of our nation. I try to tell people all the time, promotion does not come from the south, the east, or the west. But it's God that puts one up and takes another down. So all this fussing that we do about the president and all like that, God puts each one in position for what purpose he has for them. Mm-hmm. So you can get mad, you can not like whoever's in office and all like that. He says that he does not mean so, nor does he think in his heart so.
Well, it's kind of dangerous to hate and
yes,
and knock down the men that he's put in there.
Yes,
even though in our thinking, they're like they're crazy.
Right. You know? Yes. But exactly.
It's dangerous.
We don't. Many times we don't really understand what God is doing. But see, the scripture declared a couple of things about the last days. It said in the last days there would be a treaty between Egypt, between Egypt and Israel, okay? And it would be a treaty that would not be broken. Now, these are two nations that have hated and fought against each other for no less than 2,000 years. But he said in the last days, they would make a treaty. So, in the early 1970s, we get this Democrat named Jimmy Carter that God raises up, puts in office. He takes the president of Egypt and the president of Israel. They meet at, what's that place? Camp David.
Camp David.
They sign a peace treaty that to this day is the only European treaty that has not been broken. Hmm. God raised him up for that time, and he got, talking about the next election time, he got beat by the biggest margin that any president ever has been defeated by. Ronald Reagan defeated him the next round. Largest margin ever. But God raised him up for that time and that purpose.
Yep.
Because he had said in his word that that treaty would be signed in the last days. All right? In the last days, God also made it known that the capital of Israel would be restored to as Jerusalem. We've had presidents for decades that have declared that they're going to take the United States contract with Israel and change it from Tel Aviv and put it back with Israel. And none of them ever did it. Then all of a sudden,
and they started doing that.
Huh?
They started doing that, didn't they?
They started doing that in Trump's last, not this treaty, I mean this time, the president, but in his first term, he did it.
Right.
A Republican.
Yep.
So you got a Republican and a Democrat that God has raised up to do his will. So you get upset because a person is a Democrat and you don't like the Democrats. You get upset because a person is a Republican and you don't like Republicans. Well, you gotta watch out because you can be going against the will of God, the purpose of God. So the best thing for you to do is whoever's in there, pray for them.
Yeah. Well, it's just like worrying about what they're gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's kind of foolish for us to worry about it because God's it's going to happen his way no matter what.
God's in charge.
He's in control.
Exactly.
Don't look like it, but he is.
And he raised them up for that purpose. That's the one he chose to raise up to use for that purpose.
Yep.
And that's why my thing is, I don't know the last time I have voted for the wrong candidate. Why? Because when it's time to vote, I vote for Lord, whoever it is you want in there, I'm for him. And that's it. I vote through prayer. I don't go down to the election place and all like that. I vote through prayer. And whoever God wants in there, that's who I'm praying for, that they win it. Okay. So anyway, because he says, this guy here, he said he does not mean to do so, neither does his heart think so, even though he's treading the people down like mire, like mud in the streets. He doesn't mean to do so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off not a few nations. He don't even know what he's doing and why. But God has raised him up to punish Israel for how Israel has turned against him again and again and again. So God has raised Assyria up to punish them. Okay? All right. Now these next few verses here, if somebody else got some kind of way you want to explain them, you can. Well, go ahead. Verses
8, 9, and 10.
Oh, well, verse 8 is all right.
Yeah. For he says, are not my princes altogether kings?
Okay, he's saying, what's he saying there?
Are not
my princes altogether kings?
Not just commanders.
He's saying they are better than the kings of most other nations. My princes or my commanders are better than the kings of many other nations. Okay?
Is not Calneh like Carchemish? Is not Hamath like Arpad? Is not Samaria like Damascus?
So he's talking about these little minor countries. Aren't they just as big, just as bad as these other supposed to be big time countries? So what he's doing is he's bragging, the king of Assyria is bragging about the things that he got under him and saying it's just as big as all this other stuff in the world that they think they got going on.
As my hand has found the kingdoms of the idols whose carved images excelled those of Jerusalem and Samaria, as I have done to Samaria and her idols, shall I not do also to Jerusalem and her idols?
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Uh-oh. So what's going on here? What's he doing?
So you need to stop this silliness.
No, but what is he doing here? You know what he's saying. What does he say? And for verse 10, what does he say?
Found the kingdoms of the idols.
Kingdoms of idols.
Verse 10.
As my hand has found the kingdoms of the idols.
Mm-hmm. And verse 11, what he says?
As I have done to Samaria and her idols, shall I not do
so
also?
So what is he doing here?
Shutting them down.
No. He's boasting about himself. Look at what I have done.
Oh, okay.
Hand has found the kingdom of the idols, as I have done to Samaria and her idols, shall I not do also to Jerusalem and her idols? He's bragging about what he has done. Okay? He thinks he's a big shot, even though God had already said that I'm going to use them to punish my people for how my people have acted up. But he's saying he thinks that he did it himself.
Who's he?
The king of Assyria.
Okay.
Yeah.
As my hand has found the kingdom of the idols, as I have done to Samaria, so shall I not do to Jerusalem and her idols? In other words, I got this all under control. Okay, then what happens?
See, therefore, it shall come to pass when the Lord has performed all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, that he will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant part of the king of Assyria and the glory of his haughty looks.
Okay, so what's going on here? What happens? Picture kind of changes a little bit, doesn't it?
More spanking. Yep.
So when he's finished with the work that I've given him to do, then God will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria, the one talk that was just talking about how all that he had done. God said, when he gets through with what I put him up there to do, I'm going to punish his heart and the glory of his haughty looks. Okay? For he says, look at what the king of Assyria is saying.
By the strength of my hand, I have done it.
Mm-hmm.
And by my wisdom, I am prudent, for I am prudent. Also, I have removed the boundaries of the people and have robbed their treasuries. So I have cut down the inhabitants like a valiant man.
Mm-hmm.
My hand has found like a rich, my hand has found like a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathers eggs that are left, I have gathered all the earth, and there is no one who moved his wing nor opened his mouth with even a peep.
Okay, he's bragging,
yeah,
about what he has done, right? By the strength of my hand I have done it, by my wisdom. For I am prudent. What does that mean, prudent? Smart.
Above?
Yeah.
Above all?
Huh?
Above all?
Yeah, and my wisdom, my knowledge is above all. I'm smart. I've done all of this stuff. And I have robbed their treasuries. I put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. Just boasting on himself. Right? Saying he's done something.
Yeah, that's,
okay.
That's sensible.
But then when God gets tired of it, God speaks. Verse 15.
Shall the axe boast itself against him who chops with it? Or shall the saw exalt itself against him who saws with it?
Okay, now, what's this saying? God is the one that put them in position to do these things that he was able to do. And shall the axe boast itself against the one who chops with it? Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. The axe talking about how he chopped all, this wood. Okay? I shall a saw exalt itself against who saws with it? Saw boasting about all this wood it sawed up. How can that happen? So God is saying it's the same way with the king of Assyria. Man, you haven't done anything. I've been using you to do this.
Yeah. If the saw or the axe don't get picked up and used, it ain't nothing.
Exactly. Okay.
Let's see. As if a rod could wield itself against those who lift it up, or as if a staff could lift up as if it were not wood.
Okay. So you see, what can these things do without somebody using them? By the same token, to the king of Assyria, what do you think you could do if I weren't there to give you the ability to do it? And we have to be careful sometimes ourselves, because we can think we're all that. And without God, we can do nothing. Actually, we're just like that axe that just lays on the ground, that saw that just lays there.
Rest away, yeah.
Okay.
Therefore the Lord of hosts, will send leanness among his fat ones, and under his glory he will kindle a burning like the burning of a fire.
Okay, so those that he had been using, had built up and all like that, he said that he's going to send leanness among them. What is leanness?
Trim off all the fat.
Yeah, they were fat and all, but he's going to trim all of them. They could leave them skinny.
Yeah.
Okay? And he will kindle them like the burning of a fire. Okay?
So the light of Israel will be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame.
Mm-hmm.
It will burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day. And it will consume the glory of his forest and of his faithful field, fruitful field, both body and soul and body, and they will be as when a sick man wastes away.
Okay. Any of you seen any of those pictures on TV about the forests? I mean, the fields that are burning out in California?
California fires?
Yeah.
That's happening all the time, isn't it? Out there.
Not the right now, the way it's burning out there right now.
I didn't even know there was any fires going.
Man, they got some fires out there they can't do anything with. Okay? And he said, but that's how it's going to be with them. When he deals with Assyria, it's going to be with them. It says that he's going to consume the glory of his forest and his fruitful field, both soul and body. And let's talk about all that he's got going in this nation is going to be wiped away, and they will be as when a sick man
wastes away.
Mm. So once again, he's talking about Assyria, but we have to take note on this ourselves, because we can get caught up in this also. God starts using us for something, for his purpose, and we get the big head about it. And all of a sudden, things start turning around.
We got so big.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see. Then the rest of the trees of his forest will be so few in number that a child may write them.
It's going to be burned. These trees will be burned down so bad. When it says write them, it's talking about a child can count the trees just left. Mm-hmm. Used to be a real thick forest. You used to really be something. And now you're knocked down to where, as it were, as a child count, because I'm looking at the trees in my backyard. Mm-hmm. And right now, oh God, you cannot see anything through them, but then they're cut down where a child can just go up there, 1, 2, 3, 4. You see, well, that's how it's going to be with these nations that are so arrogant and prideful right now. Okay, and then something's going to happen with Israel.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped of the house of Jacob will never again depend on him who defeated them, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth.
Okay, so what's going to happen? What's the turnaround here?
They're going to change their minds.
Change their what?
Change their minds.
Where were their minds before?
Of arrogance and, hey, look at me.
No, not Israel, because Israel were the slaves to the other people.
Oh, I'm looking at it wrong.
So they were looking at these other people to defend them. Okay, the people that they were slaves to, they were looking for the people to, they were dependent on them to help them where they were needed. But he said they will no longer depend on those that defeated them. But they're going to depend on who they afterwards go turn around, and they're going to do what?
Rely on the Lord.
Yes, they're going to depend on the Lord instead of depending on the nation that had defeated them. Uh-huh.
The remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God.
Okay, I ain't going to be about a few of them. But they're going to return to the mighty God that they had been serving before they got the big head and God had to send Assyria down to put them in their place. And then the few that are left are gonna return to God.
For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return.
Mm-hmm.
The destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts will make a determined and in the midst of all the land.
Okay, so even though only a few of them are going to return, God will pour out righteousness on that few that do return. And so that's the thing that we as a people have to look out for. No, everybody might not like you, everybody might not think you're cool, but he says that the destruction decree shall overflow. The few that's left, I should say, the remnant that's left, shall overflow with righteousness of God. And God will make a determined end in the midst of all the land. So God, people talk about now how bad things are and all, God's going to determine what the end is going to be. And I thank God that he's already declared and told us what, for those that believe and trust in him, what it's going to be. Okay?
Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian.
Mm-hmm.
He shall strike you with a rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation will cease.
Mm-hmm.
For a very little while, and the indignation will cease.
Mm-hmm.
And as my anger in their destruction, the Lord of hosts will stir up a scourge for him, like the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Horeb. As his rod was on the sea, so he so he will lift it up in the manner of Egypt.
So God is saying, yes, you might, you're going through something right now. Hopefully you'll learn the lesson. Okay? And my anger will not always be against you. Okay? Yes, they're striking you right now. But, and lift up the staff against you, but in a little while, I'm going to put it to a stop, to an end. The devil might seem to have victory over you right now, but God's saying, you get right with me, and I'm going to turn that all around.
Destroy them.
Amen. I like this next verse here.
It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder,
mm-hmm.
his yoke from your neck,
mm-hmm.
and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil.
Okay, that burden that you got on your shoulders right now, this could be taken off, and that yoke that you feel that you carry around on your neck every day, I like this next verse. And the yoke will be destroyed, not just taken off your neck, but it will be destroyed because of the anointing of God.
Yeah, mine says,
what?
Because you have grown so fat.
Hmm?
What?
Because you have grown so fat.
So oh. The yoke
mine
will
says
be destroyed?
That. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. But the other say because of the anointing, or the anointing oil.
Yeah.
And that's something I think we need to get back into a bit more. We don't anoint people with oil like we used to back in earlier days. We pray for people and all, we would anoint them. So I think we need to get back to that. Okay? Now we got some of these strange names.
Uh-huh.
So watch it out.
Is that a country? Is that a country?
Yeah.
As far as I know, yeah.
He has come to Aiath. He has passed Migron at Michmash. He has attended to his equipment. They have gone along the ridge. They have taken up lodging at Geba. Ramah is afraid. Gibeah of Saul has fled. Lift your voice, O daughter of Gallim. Cause it to be heard as far as Laish. O poor Anathoth.
So these are all ones that have been on top at one time.
It is hard to get.
Yeah, I mean, right. And so That's why when I read much of Sam Moore's place, I just say, yeah, that place and there and stuff like that. So these are places that had been on top, but now all of a sudden you see them falling down.
This reminds me, reading this, Rhema trembles. Mm-hmm. When Bob and I were out in the Southwest in New Mexico, that's a big reservation down there, and here in this, in the midst of this reservation, is this little town of Rhema that was started by some Jews.
Mm.
And it's basically a Jewish little community.
Okay.
Within the reservation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, right. With the money.
Too young at the time.
No, he was in the service.
Oh, okay.
That was during the Reagan administration.
Okay. All right.
See, Madmena has fled. The inhabitants have given seek refuge. As yet, he will remain at Nob that day. He will shake his fist at the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Behold, the Lord of hosts will lop off the bow with terror.
Mm.
Those of high stature will be hewn down.
Okay.
And the haughty will be humbled.
Okay, those that understand think they're that. All that, they're going to be cut down. And those that are haughty, all bragging and all like that,
will be humbled.
Yes.
He will cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon will fall by the Mighty One.
Mm. So, in other words, God is giving warning to his people about all these things that are to come. Because if you read through the books of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, it's just over and over and over. You see, God rescues people, and then as soon as they get, you know, in safety, they'll be there for about 20, 30 years, and whoever's president or king at that time, he dies, they go right back into...
They were doing.
Yeah. And the thing about, so this is why God's doing this now, just trying to warn them that this is what's going to happen. You continue doing it, it's going to happen. Because he wants to take the burden away from your shoulder. And the yoke from your back, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. So if we really want the yoke and the burden to be destroyed from us, we've got to look for, and the anointing actually comes from the Spirit of God. Not to, we use oil as symbolic of it, but the anointing really is the Spirit of God. And if we will be obedient to the Spirit of God, then the yoke and the burden that are on us will be taken away also. We need to keep that in mind. Those things are there because there is no anointing. And that's not just for yourself. God can use the anointing that he puts on you to help set other people free also. All right?
And if you ain't doing the job, he'll get somebody else that
yes.
will.
Yes. Okay, any questions or further comments?
Are we done right there then?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. It's Israel has a long history. They know their history.
Mm-hmm.
They can look back in the books, they can look in the, and they know how they've been a couple thousand years.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, it just boggles my mind that they keep going backwards. I mean, and it really boggles my mind that guy's so patient that he takes them back eventually.
Yes.
He punishes them, but he makes it.
I don't know of any other nation that has been messed up that many times and still continue to come back.
Ones that have messed up that many times are usually dust in the...
Exactly.
In the desert.
But God continues to bring them back. Even when he talked about in the last days when they would be brought back as a nation, 1948, that was the beginning of the end times, the end days. Mm-hmm. So we can learn something from them, or we can continue to be foolish. It's our choice. Okay, anything else? Does someone want to give us a closing prayer?
Father, we just thank you for your wisdom and that for showing us history and what you desire for your people and
yes,
for
Lord.
Us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And thank you for showing us the end. We look forward to excitedly to your coming and to your coming again.
Yes, Lord.
And
yes.
We just want to thank you, Father, for this time.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus'
name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.